Oh, you, oh, you're okay. So you're three.
Yeah. Already
waiting for the animation.
Yeah.
Actually, what I would like to do for this episode is just play Odyssey and maybe just capture the sound of me playing it.
Let's hear those sticks clack, baby.
You know, that's what that's something I like actually about the Switch is that it's not a very noisy contraption.
No, I like the click of the buttons though when you mash them.
They're really satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that like Xbox and PS4 shit is so loud, don't you think?
It's real clacky. Well, Xbox and PS4, they're angry consoles, you know, like you hop on them to shoot some nerds and scream at them, and then you private message them insults and threats. And the whole time you're just like slavering, foaming at the mouth, furious, heart rate through the roof. Switch isn't like that.
No, it's gentle. It's sweet.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's like a whisper.
It's sort of like a butterfly in an open field, a meadow, fluttering
it's
along.
It's like a gentle touch.
A gentle touch. Mm-hmm. Miyamoto and Reggie, they've got a gentle touch.
I love the feeling of Miyamoto's. Like he blows in my ear so softly,
and they lotion up too.
Oh yeah, no,
like
no dry skin.
They're smooth as an egg. If they were to slip and fall, they would slide and wouldn't stop. Like they would need someone to catch them or run into something. That's how smooth they are.
They do like a sweet flip out of it, though.
Yeah,
they're Curly from Of Mice and Men. Got their hands in gloves full of Vaseline.
Yes.
Little ninth grade callback there.
Do you think that Mario's moves are modeled after Miyamoto? Do you think he can do all of those maneuvers, like the side flips and the...
Well, let me put it this way. When I was in art school, I drew myself a lot because I'm my own easiest model, you know?
That's true. That's a connection. No one's explored that, really.
I think Miyamoto just had a mirror next to him while he was programming Mario. And he just look over, see a side flip, and be like, yeah, okay.
Right. Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, Mario really learned all of his acrobatics, like, true acrobatics in Mario 64.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That's true.
Because everything before that was 2D. That was the first 3D Mario. And all the 2D incarnations of Mario before that were just side-scrolling, running and jumping and ducking, I guess.
Flying. He lost
the ability
to fly.
He did fly in Mario World, Super Mario World.
No, he actually didn't lose it. It just changed. He put on a wing cap instead of a cape.
Cape. Yeah. They need to bring the cape back. Cape was.
I love the cape, dude. Sweet. Oh man. Imagine how well they would program the controls for the cape in a 3D Mario. That'd be so fucking great.
Oh man, it would be fantastic. Well, yeah. I wonder if there's the potential for that in Odyssey that we will run into later on.
Maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, could be. What was your favorite Mario power-up?
In general?
Yeah, out of every game. The cape, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
How could it?
It's like mechanically, like really interesting.
Right.
You know, whereas like, you know, the Tanuki cap is awesome, but also like there's nothing to it. Like you just run and then you just shoot up in a diagonal, you know.
True.
That's it. The boot. Oh, I forget the name of the boot.
Remember did it have a though? Name other than the boot?
It did. Yeah, it's like it starts with a K. I can't remember what it is. It's cute though.
It's a cutie name for it.
Yeah. It probably has like roots in Japanese lore myth though, like the Tanuki.
Oh, okay. What about the frog suit?
Frog suit. I forgot about the frog suit. That's a strong contender.
Really good. Yeah. And I think they brought that one back in one of the later 3D games. Like maybe one of the Galaxy games had it.
Probably. Yeah. I think I remember that. I know they had the cat in 3D World. Yeah.
There is a block of Mario games that I missed, you know, and I think it was mostly during the late stages of the Wii and in the Wii U's life cycle. Like I played both Galaxy games, which are great, but then there's all these ones that came out, I think, on the Wii U that I just completely missed, which were like the the 3D World ones, whatever they were called. Well,
there's 3D World on the Wii U and 3D Land on the 3DS.
Oh, okay.
And then there was like another co-op Mario on Wii U, but it was a side scroller, I think.
Yeah, I just missed those. Those were under my radar, I guess. Well, I didn't own a Wii U, so I had no interest.
Good reason.
Yeah. I don't know how many people. I think I only know one person that bought a Wii U. Speaking of,
me too. I also know one person. Maybe you know him. Maybe he's the same person.
Could be. Yeah, it might be actually. Yeah, the Wii U sucked so bad. I'm so glad I didn't buy it.
I wish it wasn't what it was, because there were so many games. Well, not so many. There are 4 games that I wanted to play on it, and that's not enough.
Captain Toad.
I didn't care about that so much.
Shit. Yeah. That's like one of the best games on the Wii U, apparently, I think.
Yeah, it just doesn't have any, like, it doesn't have any immediate appeal to me. But 3D World, Bayonetta 2.
Oh, that's right. Bayonetta 2 was an exclusive for that.
Exclusive for sure.
Fuck.
Mario Maker, and I guess that's probably it. What about you?
Yeah, probably the same. Bayonetta 2 is a big deal. I love that first game, so it's a bummer that maybe they'll port it to Switch, who knows. I don't know if there's any clamoring for that, but I would like it. I'd play it.
God, they really just got to spend most of their time. It probably doesn't even take that much time, but they need to be porting those games, man. Like, nobody fucking played any Wii U games.
Yeah, they absolutely
comparatively
do.
I gotta play those.
Well, Miyamoto had I don't know if he tweets, I don't follow him if he does, but there was a quote directly from him, I think, this past week, of him saying that it would be really great to bring more older games to the Switch and take that, you know, with a grain of whatever. But who knows what that means. If that means GameCube, if that means just more Super Nintendo stuff, I don't know.
It's obviously going to happen. Like, they're obviously going to do old games. Like, nobody would believe that they won't, because that's all Nintendo does these days. Since they started accepting downloads onto their system, they've made a, you know, shitload of money out of porting old Nintendo games. And so they're going to do it. And they even said that they were going to. They proposed a model in which they would be offering like a monthly service, and you would get access to Nintendo classics, and on like a rental basis, or like you would have access to them for a short period of time, and then perhaps there would be bonus content alongside it. And they didn't really specify how this would work or what it was, but, you know, it's been in their mind that they were going to do old games for a while now. I just hope that it's Wii U or GameCube would be cool too.
Yeah, there's a massive library of popular games to draw from that have just an insane amount of fans that want them. So it would be, it'd be crazy to think that they wouldn't touch upon that and sell some of those older games for like $5 a pop. They make tons of dough, tons of coins.
I guess the only problem is that Nintendo is perpetually one generation behind technologically. So, like with the Wii U, they probably could let me rephrase that, actually, because the Wii U actually did that. They tend to port games that are like one generation behind what they're capable of porting.
I see. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. The Wii, I think, was porting 64 games.
It was, and I was going to say it wasn't porting GameCube games, but it didn't need to because it had GameCube hardware in it.
Right.
So it could just play them.
Yeah.
So that statement's wrong. But yeah, they could have done that on the Wii U. But no, that also had Wii hardware in it. So.
Oh, right. Could you play Wii games on the Wii U?
Yeah, it actually just played. It booted into like Wii mode and had like the same
right,
Wii.
Right, right. Sort of like how Xbox One emulates Xbox 360 when you play a backwards compatible game.
Deeper than that, because I think that it actually had Wii hardware in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it would just like switch to Wii hardware.
Oh, weird.
I could be wrong, But I that may be just be how they used the game, or how they did it in the GameCube.
Right, right.
Anyway, yeah, dude, I hope that they don't fuck this up. I hope they give us what we want.
I hope so too. I mean, I'm okay right now with Nintendo. This was really Nintendo's year. You know, they nailed it super hard and really kind of took over this year.
Totally. And I think that a large part of that is the surprise factor. Like, nobody expected Nintendo to bring it around in a way that would be so powerful, especially for like adults. Like, they've done such a good job with the 3DS, and even though looking at it objectively, iterating on the 3DS seems like an unnecessary move and like a confusing move for mm-hmm. them to do. Moving in another direction with another handheld seemed like they were going to like make the same mistake again, but
yeah. Everyone was pretty quick to dismiss the Switch as a gimmick, and then as they got nearer to the deadline, and then they began showing the gameplay of Zelda and what it was going to actually end up looking like, people were rightfully persuaded that this was going to be that Nintendo had really successfully did something here.
Totally.
And you know, after the recent failures, like I think as you said, it was very shocking, it was very startling for the gaming sphere, you know, because everyone was pretty down on Nintendo, and for them to come in this year and own the whole year so far, and mm-hmm. will probably finish up the year as being the standout out of the big three, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft as the one, you know, they haven't been at the top of the pack for a long time. Maybe not since the Wii days. And even the Wii will, like, if you look at the Wii now, it's still mostly a gimmick. Like, all the Wii's motion control shit is, like, really, really basic compared to what's out now.
Yeah. I mean, Nintendo made millions of dollars on the Wii U, or rather on the Wii, and it's, I don't think anybody would look back and say that they did so because the games were good or because they were particularly effective like console designers. They pulled in a lot of people who don't play games, and I think people learned their lesson after most developers failed to find anything interesting to do with that gimmick, and seeing that they are going in a like another like perceivably gimmicky direction was worrying, because people who play a lot of games are not going to be interested in another gimmick. They've already learned that lesson. And we want to see Nintendo make the types of games that they're known for, and when they're limited by a gimmick, they can't do that.
True. And you're right. I mean, I don't know anyone that didn't have a Wii. I mean, everyone had one. Everyone's grandma had one, because you could do like karaoke and samba.
Dances and shit.
Should have been the tagline for the Wii. Dances and shit. You get to dance. You can do yoga. It's just shit.
The library on that system was like probably 2,000 games deep. There's so many games.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is go on YouTube and look up Wii collection videos, and just see people have literally rooms where to just house the games, Wii games.
Oh my god,
it's astounding. There's this great YouTube channel by a guy called Finn Gamer. He lives in Finland. I think does gaming journalism or something. But his channel is fantastic because you know, he collects for entire like systems. Like, he has entire Wii U collections. He's super big on Nintendo, and to see his Wii collection is just fucking unreal. Like, he goes to places all around the world and buys the games specifically for that area, you know, like the Spanish only games and shit.
Right.
And that's some serious dedication to the Wii.
Totally.
Which is, you know,
shovelware, dude.
Shovelware. So far, I mean, the interesting thing is on the Switch right now is that they've had these big release games that have come out every other month, I'd say, like ARMS, Splatoon 2, Odyssey now, and then obviously Zelda. And then other than that, it's been mostly like small indie titles and then a bunch of random Neo Geo shit.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just all filler. Like, I think people realize that, that when you go on the eShop, there's like five or six major games and the rest is literally just filler because they're not doing Virtual Console or older Nintendo releases right now.
Right.
Like, the, Nintendo just isn't releasing games on Switch as much as like the other two consoles are, and that's how it's going to be this year, and I think people realize that. But
yeah, and that's fine. I mean, I prefer it. I feel like the Wii hit on like a flashpoint of people or developers realizing they could cheaply and easily make a bunch of garbage for people who are unfamiliar with what a quality game could entail and are uninterested in like that type of quality anyway. They just want to have the experience of playing a motion control video game. And that type of developer doesn't exist as great of quantity as it did before. So like, while there are motion controls on the Switch, developers are less interested in taking advantage of any like zeitgeisty interest in that. Partly because there isn't any, like, people aren't buying the Switch because it has motion controls.
Right, right.
And that's good.
Yeah. And speaking of quality and motion controls, we got to get into it. We got to talk about it. We mentioned it a couple times already in passing.
Zelda.
Yeah, Zelda. we're gonna do another Zelda episode right now.
Absolutely.
We're going to speak for another 45 minutes on Zelda and just go nowhere like we did the last time, because you can't go anywhere with that. No. It's just running in circles and yelling the things that you like about it. That's all you can do is that game, which is a good thing. Zelda's so massive that you can't spend less than a day talking about it in folks. And I feel like this actually might be similar, is what which is Mario Odyssey. Let's just get right to it. Which is
so how do you like it?
Fuck. Well, it's been out only 2 days. And this might be the best Mario game of all time.
It could be.
I think it might be. Like, I can't even really hesitate to say that, because I think that they've taken every single thing that made Mario good and fun, and made it the best. Made it in the best way possible. Taken all those things and perfected it, and then put it in a absolutely like just insanely gorgeous environment with the it in the sound design. It's like, we're gonna get into it like really right now, but
dude, that music in the first prehistoric world is just like Disneyland.
Yeah,
like it's Disneyland caliber music.
It's really fantastic. And it has that vibe to it of just like wonder, you know,
being, you know, kid. What the themed world thing, very Disneyland in and of itself.
It's a good point. That's a good point. And there's been a lot of correlation if you look at like the way Nintendo and Disney grew through the 80s to 90s to the 2000s. There's a lot of lines that intersect there that I'm sure could be explored, and there's a lot of connection there, I think.
Yeah, I guess you're right. They started out with like blank slate cipher type characters. Like Mario is like a nothing person. He was Jumpman initially,
right?
And then Mickey was Steamboat Willie, just like a whistling mouse.
Well, I think even before that he was Oswald the Rabbit. Like, that was the first incarnation of Mickey Mouse, wasn't it?
I think you're right. Or if not the first incarnation, then at least his predecessor.
Right.
And then they developed into like lovable round people
with big hands, white gloves, and overalls,
white gloves and overalls. You're right.
Well,
and
no, Mickey doesn't wear overalls, does he? He's got pants.
No,
he's got
Goofy wears overalls.
That's right.
And then they kind of just like thrust them into like magical or like themed scenarios.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're right.
Mickey and Mario are should actually do that. Have they teamed up before? I know Mickey has been on a lot of Nintendo consoles, but
no, I don't think I've ever seen them on the same screen.
Yeah, they should do a Super Smash Bros. With Mario characters and Disney characters.
They totally should, dude. Get Sonic out of there. He sucks, dude.
Seriously, like if they're gonna do if the Disney people and Square Enix are gonna do this Kingdom Hearts shit, they might as well get involved with Nintendo as well and do like Pixar characters versus Mario crew.
Kingdom Hearts is such a fucking Mario ass concept, right? Like compared to Odyssey, for example. I mean, like, ultimately you're just like this generic character being injected into these like hyper themed environments with a local population who is
totally right. I mean, in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, there's a total world select screen that looks exactly like the Mario Galaxy select screen, world select screen. It's like the same thing. So yeah, there's a lot of parallels that you could draw between Disney stuff and Mario stuff, and Mario Odyssey definitely has that vibe of childhood wonder, you know, that I think that is universal and most people can experience that when playing this type of game.
So what element of Odyssey are you most enamored with that you're surprised that you're enamored with it?
I realized that playing this game, that something I didn't fully realize before is that because this game is so vivid with its colors and character design, that while there's been previous Mario games where I've looked at the characters and appreciated them for the way that they're designed and drawn, I think in this game in particular, I've been able to walk up to a character, especially even in the first world, like the Cap Kingdom that you first go to, the black and white area, and there's all these little ghost hats. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I spent a few minutes right when I got in that area, like the very beginning of the game, just kind of like looking at the little hat ghosts because they're designed just so well, and they're so they're such cute little creatures.
And totally,
I think that I at that point knew that this game was from start to finish. I haven't gotten to the New York based area, New Donk City or whatever, where there's the actual humans. Yeah. So I can't say this for sure, but I do know that all the characters I've met so far have been undeniably cute and sweet and charming and lovable, which is something I don't know if I've ever really felt from a Mario game before. I mean, sure, there's been instances where I said, oh, look at that little cute little critter, you know, like the owl that picks you up in Super Mario 64, or the big bee from Mario Galaxy. The big bee queen is sweet.
Yeah.
But there's so much Pixar Disney vibe in the characters, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Like we were saying earlier that Mario and Disney, or Mario and Mickey have a lot of similarities. And I think that I overstated that because I don't know that there has been a Mario game where the worlds are populated by like a local population specific to that region.
Mario, Super Mario Sunshine kind of has that. Like the hub world has the...
The Delfino.
Yeah, the Delfino crew. The Delfines or whatever.
Those are the ugliest fucking characters I've ever seen
in
my life.
Yeah, they're worst. They're just blobs. Yeah. They look like melted jelly beans.
You're right. Yeah, no, you're right. That is true. Delfino Island does have a local population. It sucks ass and it should be exterminated.
Yes.
And maybe they're in this game too. I don't know.
Fuck, ruin it.
Yeah, that was like a ruin it for me too. That was like a proto iteration of a level from this game, because it's got each of them has like their own little local population, and they're like very colorful people with their own like personality quirks too.
Sure.
Like the robots in the forest region are all like hyper nervous and anxious robots. You know what I'm talking about? The wandering robots.
The classic paranoid android.
There you go.
That's the whole thing, you know.
Yeah, that's adorable, man. And the people of the Dia de los Muertos level, oh, they're so vibrant.
Yeah, and they're just all and just dancing and hanging out. Welcome to our sandy village. And then it's all cold, and they're saying, "Oh, it's too cold, Mario, help us." And
we got this is bad news.
This is bad. What are you gonna do, Mario?
Yeah,
save the sandy kingdom.
It's lovely. They're so much better than Toad people. The Toad people suck.
Fuck.
Man.
And that's also what's a great thing is that there's hardly any Toads in this game. There's a few, but most of them are hidden and away from my eyesight. Like, I don't want to see them. I'm sick of fucking Toad and the whole Toad thing.
Yeah, his whole Toad, like, the big part of the whole Toad thing that I hate is when he speaks and he's like,
ah! They just screech. Could you imagine living in a world where you have little mushroom people that just screech as a form of communication? Like, they just spit, and it's like they have dribble coming out of their mouth and just hissing. And they don't have teeth either, so it's fucking awful.
I bet the inside of their mouth is like a penguin's mouth, where it's just like rimmed with horrible incisors just all the way back down the throat.
Yeah, and it's probably has like covered in like some sort of acid that dissolves the food that they eat, so and they can't reach their mouth because their arms are so stubby, so they require people to feed them.
Yeah.
It's awful. That's why Mario wears the gloves, so he can feed Toads. Because if he tried to go in gloveless, he'd burn his hand on the acid, the mushroom acid.
Have you ever been to a town hall meeting in Mushroom Kingdom?
No. Have you?
Deafening.
Just can't hear horrible. A thing.
No, when the rabble gets roused,
all the chairs melt to the ground from the stomach acid that they.
Yeah, there's that's the other thing about Toad people that everybody hates is all the stomach acid.
Yeah, they need to be exiled to the Pepto-Bismol kingdom, live there forever.
Oh man, yeah, they're gone and they're replaced by a bunch of cuties. It's great,
bunch of cuties. Okay, broad spectrum Mario Odyssey, what are the things that stand out about this game?
I think something that I enjoy that a lot that I didn't expect to, especially out of a Mario game, is the actual accumulation of costumes. I fucking love it, dude. I love buying really those good. Costumes, yeah. Popping them on. See what he looks like. I got the caveman one on right now.
Oh, nice. Is that your favorite one?
It's up there. It's up there. I really like the mechanic one, actually, with a little cap.
Oh, yeah. That's cute. Cap. That's cute. I like it. Yeah, I think me and you are about the same in terms of like where we are in the game's progression. I think we're about the same. We're both in the Wooded Kingdom. I think I've finished up a lot of that. But I've been rocking the scientist costume from the Wooded Kingdom, where he has like his hair turns into
Dr. Wily hat.
Yeah. It's like an Einstein Wily situation.
Right.
It's pretty wacky.
I love it.
So how do you feel about the whole hat thing? And because I mean that's like the gimmick, quote unquote, of Mario Odyssey is that Mario right from the beginning of the game meets a magical hat called Cappy that jumps onto his head, becomes Mario's hat. That's why you see all the marketing for Mario Odyssey, Mario's hat has two big eyes on it. Well, his hat has become possessed by a hat creature from the Cap Kingdom called Cappy, and he has the ability to possess inanimate objects and physical beings, right? Mm-hmm. So that's for people who didn't know. We both know, and how do you feel about it?
I actually didn't know that. I've been playing it traditionally, and it's been extremely, extremely hard. I've only been pressing the one button on the controller.
So this is the capless run?
This is a total capless run. This is a naked run, yeah. 80%. yeah, it's I like it a lot, and I'm not good with the like hat tricks yet, for lack of a better phrase.
And there's some gnarly hat tricks in this game.
You can use the hat as a platform to jump off of. You can throw the hat in weird ways, and it's all like a lot more complex than
speaking
it
of
needs
speed
to be.
Runs though. I've seen some early videos of people pulling off just absolutely bonkers tricks with the cap and getting to like areas that are otherwise inaccessible. The speed runs for this game, once people nail it, are going to be pretty fucking insane, I think. Way down the line.
I saw somebody saying that they used a bunch of gnarly like jump tricks to get to a place that is like basically impossible to get to, that you're never supposed to be at, and they were given like a fat stack of coins by the game for doing it.
I saw a post about this on maybe Reddit or somewhere that was detailing like, okay, Nintendo obviously knows that people are going to use the hat to exploit some sort of, you know, to be able to get to areas like that, and they just left out a huge stack of coins for them.
That's fucking great, dude. Like in Zelda, I played a lot of that game. I played like 80 hours of that game not using a particular mechanic because it's not necessary, until I was forced to use it in a side quest to like snowboard down a mountain, right, to race some dude's time. And once I finally used it, a mechanic that otherwise seemed like window dressing, it was so much fucking fun, and it was so fast, and it became like my preferred method of transportation.
It was the game changer for you.
Yeah, I didn't use horses anymore. I got the Hylian shield, which never degrades, and then I just fucking
shield surfed
everywhere. It was so rad.
Yeah.
And they did the exact same thing in this game, where after a long jump, you can hold the crouch button and just keep rolling in a ball, which Mario's never been able to do before, but it emulates the shield surf mechanic very closely. And once I figured that out, it's just like all I do.
I think really early on in the game, they give you the tools to access the menus, which show you how exactly to perform the certain maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
And then while not being intrusive, when you do travel from a world to another world, they have a little break in between that isn't necessarily a loading screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they'll say, hey, try this, you know? Mm-hmm. Why don't you try the roll or the cap jump?
It's kind of like a flashcard approach to teaching you the mechanics, because you could totally get through the game without using a variety of different jump techniques that are arguably extraneous, you know. Mm-hmm. Like a backflip emulates a side flip, they both get you to the same height basically.
But
the fact that the ghost Cappy opens up a book and just reads you a random trick, it does encourage you to try things that people would probably never give a shot. Like the roll after the long jump, if I didn't read that in the mechanic book, I wouldn't do it because I didn't even know it existed.
And there's still tricks that I haven't really found a use for even yet, and I know that they're available to you. But for example, there's one of the things I used to do in probably the best form of locomotion in Super Mario 64 and Sunshine, and maybe even the later games, is the run, jump, dive, and slide.
Mm-hmm.
The roll has taken the place of that,
right,
mostly. But you can still do the dive in midair, but it does. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the same function, really.
Right.
And I haven't really found a good use for it at this point. But it's there. Like we said at the top of the episode, all the tricks are there for the most part.
Yeah, I think that it actually incorporates every trick that he's ever had.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot, because there were games where he would have a trick in a previous game that he no longer had.
Right.
Like, I think for some of the Mario Galaxy games, he didn't have the long jump anymore.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. I love the long jump.
Yeah.
And now not only is it back, but there are two versions of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so beyond the controls and beyond the possessing and the things, have you found that there's anything other than that that was like an aha for you, or like an immediate like, okay, like here's what I know is such a big improvement, or something that caught your eye right from the beginning?
I think that the worlds themselves. So Mario 64 is my favorite Mario game. I mean, I don't know what it is, if it is anymore, but it's always been my favorite Mario game because largely because it has an overworld. Like, I love overworlds. I love the tranquility of them and the fact that they hide secrets and that they're gated. I think that gating access to certain parts of an overworld make those parts feel like secretive and exclusive in a way that builds mystery, which I really like in world design. And there really hasn't been a impressive or even necessary overworld in a Mario game since, which has been a huge bummer for me. And there isn't an overworld in Odyssey either, but the worlds themselves are so dense, and you don't choose a goal before you enter them.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of a huge deal.
So they themselves are overworlds in a way, or at least they offer the same benefits of an overworld outside of the exclusivity of access.
Right.
No, actually, it does have gated access in it, because there are certain parts of the world that you can't access until after you've beaten the boss for that region.
True.
So yeah, I guess I think that's the thing that I like the most that I hadn't expected, was that not only is there an overworld, every level is itself kind of, it offers the things that overworlds give to me.
Yeah, it's definitely a new take on the formula. You know, for a very long time, it's been you have something of an overworld. I mean, the Galaxy games had an overworld in which you're flying around on that ship, which you can explore freely, but it's very small. It doesn't really function as a traditional or really functional overworld. And then in those games and every Mario game since, really, and before, it's been choose the star that you're going to go after. It has this specific objective in this world. Sometimes the world is different based on the challenge of that particular star or whatever it is that you're going after, Lumen, whatever they're called in Galaxy. And in Odyssey, for those who don't know, you are traveling to a new area, a world, which appears like it's on Earth, because that's a new thing also. I don't know if Mario's ever been shown to actually be on Earth before, but he is on Earth in this game.
He's not technically on Earth. The continent is not... They're not of Earth.
No. It doesn't say it's Earth, but I mean, come on. It's like fucking Earth. It looks like Earth to me.
It's fucking Earth.
It's fucking Earth, dude. I know Miyamoto looked at it and said, it's fucking Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a moon, too.
Yeah.
And, which I know I'm going to fucking go to.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's traveling across what looks like an Earth, you know, a humanoid planet, and there are humanoid figures in it, which is bizarre, which, you know, mostly everyone knows now, is that there's fucking humans in cities that look like New York in this game. And you travel to these worlds, and you don't choose a star to go after. You're able to exist in this world and travel about it freely in each area and collect they're called moons in this game, the power moons. And you're able to collect them freely. Some are, as Nick said, only available after you completed certain objectives in that world. Mostly, there's like, so far at least, we've experienced about two or three stages in an overworld, usually ending with a boss fight. And then after, you have access to the whole world. And there's stuff that you won't be able to unlock until much later in the game, when you have certain items. We're unsure. I haven't seen anything that would spoil that for me, so I can't give a definitive answer on that. And then the other big change is that instead of there being just like 120 to 200 stars like in previous games, this game has I think 800 or 900 moons.
I think it's around 900, yeah.
Which is absolutely insane. Even the first few stages have 50, 60 moons to collect.
Tons.
It's on the level of the Korok seeds in Zelda, and while that was optional for the most part, this is pretty astounding that they decided to go with that many. Like, it's a collectathon, and you begin to get on a rhythm where you're getting them like every 5-10 minutes maybe. But the satisfaction's there every time, even, you know, even when you hit 100 power moons, which I think I just hit like 102 today, the satisfaction from getting a new one is still, I'm riding the high.
That's a good, like, you use the word collectathon, and that, you know, has a notorious stigma attached to it.
Right.
Games like Donkey Kong 64, and in my experience, Psychonauts are absolute collectathons.
Crackdown.
Thousands of items. Crackdown. Well, okay, so Crackdown's a good mention, because games like Donkey Kong 64 and Psychonauts, while collectathons, those objects, those collectibles, are just strewn about, like someone just fucking opened a sack
Scattered them.
Dumped it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just run over and pick them up, and they're just sitting there. But like Crackdown, to a lesser extent, and to a larger extent, this game, while they have nearly 1,000 collectibles, they are all the result of achieving some kind of accomplishment. Like, they're all hidden or put in a place that you have to, like, use your skills to get to.
Right.
Or in the case of Crackdown, you have to chase them down or whatever. They each require a unique amount of effort. Yeah, and that validates them in a way that typical collectathons do not. Like, Psychonauts in particular drove me insane, because it's just like, there's just fucking like 30 objects just laying on the ground in front of me on this one platform. It's like, I don't want to just run in a circle to pick these up.
Yeah.
You know, that's not compelling.
Right.
And Mario is.
Mario is. And it, yeah. This, it definitely leaves you with that sense of like, you're doing something correct, and you're making progress, and that feels good.
Another thing is that Mario no longer has, the levels no longer have like a maximum of coins that you're trying to collect. Before, I mean, there are coins that you can collect that are used exclusively to buy costumes, and there is a maximum count of those to a level, but the gold coins, there's no longer a maximum count in a level, so because they regenerate, or they come out of regenerative enemies, so you no longer feel like you have to collect 100 coins to get the gold star, because you, I don't think you do anymore.
No, what they do have is you could just go to the shop, and you know, each shop in each world has two vendors, one that sells items with coins, traditional gold coins, and one that sells, as you mentioned, items that can only be purchased with the specific currency of that world, and they're all in different shapes. And I think they all are purple colored, but they're in each world, they're shaped different. Like in the first Cap Kingdom world, they're shaped like hats. The next, they're shaped like, you know, like O's, whatever, rocks or something.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, what you can do now is, instead of the 100 coin gold coin thing, is that each coin shop, each coin vendor, sells a power moon for 100 coins.
Yeah, and you can use the coins that you've collected across any worlds
to buy them,
to purchase them wherever.
Right.
And I think that that's an important design decision, because they've clearly spent a lot of time thinking about what a collectathon is, or what collectibles are, what you like about them, what you don't like about them. I know I didn't like feeling compelled to collect everything that I saw, because I will do that. It's a compulsion that I think a lot of people have. And they consciously stripped that requirement, so you're no longer compulsed to participate in that, and instead you just pick them up where you want to, and if you see a coin over there, you don't have to grab it anymore.
No,
I think that's, I never thought about that, but I think that's brilliant.
It's really great. Let me tell you one of the things that I experienced early on that I both hated and loved. Okay. Hated because it kind of grossed me out, but loved because I love the attention to detail. So in the Sand Kingdom, there's cactuses, of course. And I don't know if you noticed this, but if Mario runs headfirst into a cactus and smacks into it, he gets hurt, obviously, because the cactuses are spiky. But then for a few minutes after of doing that, Mario has needles in his nose. And it makes his nose puff up.
What?
And
no.
Yeah. And turn red. And he gets super bummed about it. And I didn't notice this the first couple times I ran into a cactus on accident. But I was playing today, and I bumped into a cactus. And I just happened to move the camera at the right time, and I noticed that he had three cactus needles stuck into his nose, and his nose was all puffy and red, and he looked really upset about it. And but it looked fucked up. Like, it looked gross.
Now I'm going to injure Mario on purpose.
Yeah. Well, because he also has other instances, like, where if he falls in, like, some acid that has been in some of the levels, like, he'll mm-hmm. get covered in goop. Or when he gets hit by a bullet bill, he'll get all sooty, and you can see, like, little bits of smoke drift off of him. So the attention to detail is fantastic. And but that the needles in the nose thing really fucked me up, because it looked bad.
That's awesome, because this game also has, like, a really impressive picture mode.
Yeah.
It basically, like, freezes time and allows you to move the camera in whatever way you want around the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the status effect, basically, of having a needle in your nose will enable you to take even more compelling photographs. Like, so I was in the Sand Kingdom, and I was standing next to this dog, and Mario's idle animation in the Sand Kingdom is like he's fanning himself because it's very hot.
Mm-hmm.
And being Italian, I saw what he was doing as like a Vito Corleone sort of thing. And so I took this photo of him like chatting with this dog, basically.
Oh, fuck.
Because of the idle animation.
I thought you were going to say something different, because one of my friends who also has Odyssey, I don't think he did this. I think he found it online. But someone took a picture with that dog in the Sand Kingdom, in a really fucked up position, because Mario, like, as you said, his idle animation is he gets really hot, but he also has his tongue out in some of that idle animation. And someone took some photographs of Mario from behind the dog. And the dog actually has a butthole. I don't know if you noticed.
It does have a butthole. Yeah. I was going to say that. It has a fucking butthole.
Yeah, so someone fucking took some just horrendous pictures of Mario tongue in that dog's butt, and it's vile.
It's good shit. And then there's in the Forest Kingdom, there are a number of seeds that contain moons, and they're referred to as nuts, and the challenges all have like nut around the corner.
the best one
to get that nut.
That's the one that I had to use the capture mode. I had to screenshot it. It was like you climb to get the nut or something like that. Yeah. And it's like how could they do that? Like, how could they knowingly put that out? It's so good though.
It's very good.
Yeah.
I was very pleased with that. I really like that some of the creatures that you can capture with the hat are actually like really fun and interesting to play with. They're not just like gimmicky, like use this technique, like specific technique to get somewhere. They're actually like nice to control.
Totally. Well, it's interesting because Mario Odyssey has this unique line drawn of there being really cartoony, colorful, imaginative characters that don't exist in any reality, and then also having characters that are based in reality and look like they could be from a game that takes place not in a, you know, in a Mario game. Like the T-Rex, for example. The T-Rex isn't designed in a colorful, like it's not purple and green. It looks like a fucking T-Rex.
Right.
And then there's human characters that straight up look like human characters.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to like go into a level or the world and like control a Goomba tower and build a Goomba tower, like as you've seen in the other games, right?
Yeah.
Which is really interesting and fun. But then also in that same world, be able to control a T-Rex that looks exactly like a real T-Rex would, and then smash those Goombas or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. I think my favorite creature so far to control anyway is the bean pod.
Oh, the one that stretches up? Yeah.
Yeah, that's such a satisfying control.
Yeah, it really is. I loved a big part of the woodland world is using this creature that I guess maybe is like a somewhat of a turnip or watermelon or something.
Something like that, yeah.
It's able to stretch out its vines and stretch up really high and then kind of bounce from its elevated position to get a jump. And you use that as one of the major platforming major platforming tools in that level, and it's used to get many of the moons in that world, the woodland world.
It just feels great. It controls really well. It's a very refined mechanic, and that attention to detail is something that, you know, a lot of game developers don't even put into their main character, let alone just like this one-off, you know, one-use character.
Yeah, it's super. I mean, there's everything about it so far has been extremely satisfying. And it's so cool to see a game that's been so hyped, and us, both of us, were very excited to play, and everyone has been just like living on the edge waiting for this fucking game, and to have it meet every expectation so far is great. So I'm really happy that Nintendo did it. Good for them.
Yeah.
Pat on the back.
Oh, absolutely.
White glove on the back. Pat on the butt to Miyamoto.